So this is practicing agape part two.
Glory.
And we have explained prior to today's service that agape is God's kind of love. Father, we thank you for your word. As we share your word, we are blessed, we are edified, we are built up in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4 to 7. I believe that was describing the God kind of love. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4 to 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4 to 7 in NLT. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4 in NLT. It says, love is patient. So the God kind of love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Praise the Lord. And I believe you've been blessed so far with the array of ministers. Praise God. Love is patient, meaning you know how to just calm down and wait. Love is kind. You think of being kind towards people. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Let me tell you something here. One simple way to know you're walking in love, it is against the natural human Adamic nature. Let me explain a very funny example. Don't laugh, but I know you will laugh, so feel free to laugh. Have you ever wondered where children learned how to play what you can call dangerous pranks from? Let me explain. I remember growing up in primary school, I did not like to barb what they call skin cut. Because then when you barb skin cut, my mother would use anointing oil and rub it in the morning. And it would be shining. And when you come to the assembly ground, you will just be feeling, people will be slapping you. And when you ask them why, they will actually tell you that they couldn't resist the temptation. That your head was shining so much, they have to just give you. Then there was another funny one they used to do, where they would say, sit down, and they would pull the chair, and you will sit on the floor, and he fall on the floor, and they will laugh. We were so unkind, and we thought it was a joke. We did not realize it was a sinful nature in baby steps. The wicked nature of man in baby steps. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's another one, they would take a rubber band, fold something that looks like, they time somebody at this place, bye, and everybody will laugh. Who did it? Who is the person? You see, that is contrary to God's nature. Love is patient, love is kind. No matter how you are tempted to slap that shining or go, a kind heart will refuse. Are you with me? And guess what? It is that same wicked Adamic nature that grows up with man and matures into more devilish, evil, assiduous things. Things that when you hear them, you will say, ah, the heart of man is desperately wicked. You know, there was a story trending some weeks ago, also days ago, about how a supposedly gospel singer, which is a lie, but you know, once you hear gospel singer, it will trend more. A supposedly gospel singer who was found with the head of his supposed girlfriend. They got to his house and discovered that it was not just her head he took. This guy butchered her into pieces. Like her bones, he would remove the flesh, pieces the bones, small. So when the family did not even see what to collect to bury. Like I say, from the spurious to the scandalous. So the simple way to know what is God's way is opposite and is against the Adamic way. Are you with me? He says love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Like Minister Victoria explained to us. Can you be happy? Can you be genuinely happy for other people? It's not boastful or proud. You know, we've talked about this before. Not rude. It does not demand its own way. You see this one, eh? Hey, God. It does not demand its own way. You know, the more I study about love, the more I pray one simple prayer. God, help me. I think you should pray it with me. Say after me, God, help me to love. You know, there is a way you can be obsessed with your own way. That every other person's way apart from your own way is not just wrong, but is evil. You people know what I'm talking about. Have you seen people who are obsessed with their own way? There are some people that if you don't do it their way, and they see you are doing it your way, they will ensure that your own way fails. And they will frustrate it to the logical end. It happens in offices. Maybe somebody is giving an idea. You know, I can talk about this because I remember my days in Halliburton oil field and Well Data oil field. Sir, I think we can do it this way. It will not work. We have not tried it. It will not work. So when did maybe the whole team now decides to follow this person's way, you will now see the other ones. Instead of, they are in the same team, but instead of planning to help the good of the entire department, because their way was not taken, they will just intentionally leave the spanger or leave one boat. Leave one thing. And when it fails on the field, where was this thing? He said, okay, I told you it will not work. They don't want to listen. And that one will have a query. This one will be promoted. That is office politics, they call it. By the grace of God, I was such a smart guy. You can't outrun me. God, the Holy Ghost always showed me. Are you with me? Well, let's talk for another day. It does not demand its own way. Sometimes you may be very correct. Even in salvation, God does not force people. After he has tried for you, I know a guy that said, if this lady does not marry me, I will ensure that she will never marry anybody sensible. I was like, are you not seeing that witchcraft? I was talking to him, counseling. He said, if this lady does not marry me, she will never get married to anybody sensible. And he was saying it. I said, you don't love this lady. You don't love her. What you are doing is witchcraft. Are you following me? I've seen... Let me not talk too much. But you get the point, right? Does not demand his own way. It's not irritable. You know when somebody is irritable? Every small thing they vex. Every small... Every small thing irritates you. Every small thing irritates you. Now, the next one. And keeps no record of being wrong. This one, I used to struggle with it. I will not even lie. Praise the Lord. So one day, at a point, I began to question, does the Bible really teach forgive and forget? Are you following me? Yes, does the Bible really teach that we should forgive and forget? Well, I discovered that the Bible does not actually say forgive and forget. But the Bible wants you to get to the point where even if you remember what was done to you, you no longer remember it with pain. Meaning the person is no longer in your bad books. Are you following this? You know, I'm reading this so that you can just understand what the God kind of love expects from you. It does not rejoice about injustice. This is still NLT. But rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And I think this is also a balance to the whole teaching of love. Because some people think that love is the denial of truth. Love is not the denial of truth. For instance, let's assume your friend stole. Your friend, it was wrong. And the police arrested him. And you were supposed to come to the court to testify whether he did what was wrong or right. He's telling you that love, if you love him, you will not stand for injustice. You will stand for truth. It is better you decide not to go and testify at all than to testify a lie. Are you getting what I'm saying? So say, if you love me, are you seeing what I'm saying? To walk in love is that even though your friend was condemned to be in the prison for some weeks or for some days or some years, love is that you will not throw him away. You will not say because he has failed. Are you getting me? But you will not stand against the truth. Are you following what I'm saying? Then it says in verse 7, love never gives up. So that means even if this person has issues and the person has to be dealt with, you don't give up on the person. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Are you getting this? Amen. Amen. See, after me, I walk in love. So in connection to our subject, practicing agape, you see, the idea of practice, please, I hope you are with me. Please, I hope you are with me. For me, I see midweek services as Bible study services. The idea of practice is very sacrosanct to the Christian faith. There is a part you must play based on what God has done. And this makes Christianity kind of different from some other faiths. Some other faiths believe that if you once you accept what they are saying, something just comes over you. You don't know yourself. You know, some people say, I don't know how it happened though. I was just there. And I just started praying. I must be very special. No, in Christianity, you will know how it happened. There is a part you must play. Are you getting me? God is a miracle worker, not a magician. There is something you must do. Colossians chapter 3, from verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Can we use King James now? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, are you seeing that? He's telling you, set your affection. You have a responsibility to put your affection on things above. Meaning, pay attention to things above. So, I know you are risen with Christ, but if you are risen with Christ, what will you do? You will intentionally set your affection on things above. Are you getting this? Not on things on the earth. Verse 3. It says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Glory. Verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Glory! Glory. Verse 5. Now, everybody read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So now, that word mortify is actually a verb. The noun is what you can call a mortician. A mortician is somebody who works in a mortuary. So after a dead body is brought into the mortuary, sometimes, because even though the person is maybe dead, some cells may still be moving through the person's body that makes it act as though it's alive. So if a mortician will have such experiences where a dead body will just raise the leg. Sometimes the head will just stand up, look at it, and fall back. So what he does is he uses chemicals to ensure that if you are dead, stay dead. Are you with me? So he said, if you are with Christ above, you are one with Christ, your old man is dead, but sometimes these things which are in your physical body on the earth can make you act as if you are not saved. So you have a responsibility to mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Are you getting this? There is a difference between a Christian struggling with sin and an unbeliever who commits sin. Are you getting this? What he's showing you is there is a Christian You can be a Christian and fornication may be trying to find expression in your body. You have to put to death. Are you getting me? It is called the struggle between the inward man and the outward man. So, you can be a brother full of the Holy Ghost, eh? And sometimes, they said, Konji is a bastard. You will just be wondering, what is happening to me? Am I okay? You have to put to death. Are you getting this? You can be a believing sister. And sometimes, your body, your outward man is acting up. You have to put to death. This is the concept of practice. Where you are something in Christ, but you have to act out your nature so that the realities of what you are in Christ will be your full expression. Are you following this? Praise the Lord. And so, we practice. Tell your neighbor, we practice our faith. Everybody look at verse 9. Colossians 3 from verse 9. Colossians 3 from verse 9. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Are you seeing this? Lie not one to another, sin. Oh, because you have put off the old man with his deeds, you can decide. So you are practicing your new nature. Are you getting this? So now you have put off the old man with his deeds. You can decide that I will not lie one to another. I cannot keep on lying. I am a different man in Christ. Are you with me? So this idea of practicing our faith or practicing our nature in Christ is sacrosanct to our faith. You have to practice. If not, you will not grow. Listen, I've come to discover that if you don't practice, you will not get better. In everything in the kingdom, you can get better at it. You can get better in hearing God. You can get better in giving. You can grow in, there is a grace for everything. You can grow in your giving grace. You can even grow in the grace of in working in miracles. You can, and the only way to grow in everything in the kingdom is practice. To grow better at giving, you must keep on giving. To grow greater at worshiping, you must keep on worshiping. To grow better in holiness, you must practice holiness. Are you getting this? If you don't practice, you will never grow. You know, during the crusade that just passed, like in January, I understood better how to flow in the miraculous. One of the things I learned, which I've been sharing with you, but maybe not directly. If you are not bold, you cannot walk in the miraculous. Yes. I've come to discover that by practice of casting out demons, I've come to discover that you must be bold to cast out demons. Demons do not respond to timid people. Demons don't respond to timid people. I found out that prayer and fasting is important. But if you pray and fast and you are not bold, you won't see the miraculous. I've also come to discover that if you are bold and you don't pray and fast, you won't see the miraculous consistently. Tales from the field. I'm telling you. In fact, what I've even come to discover that there is a boldness that comes because you prayed and fasted. So you practice to get better. You practice. Tell your neighbor, practice. Oh, that was so poor. Tell your neighbor, practice. If you keep falling for a temptation, when it comes, you yield again. Every time it comes to you, you yield again. Every time it comes to you, you yield again. You know what is happening? You are getting stronger, even though you don't like it. Every single time you say no, you are getting stronger in resisting. That's why some of you have noticed that years ago, when it was a taboo for people to kiss in movies, all of us can relate to when the first time you saw a vulgar image of a man and a lady, you were like, oh, it gripped your heart with so much conviction. A time came, you kept on practicing seeing it. After a while, your conscience was not strong, you began to reject. A time came, it was just normal. Okay, they don't happen again. Let's move. We move. That's a sign that you have practiced beholding iniquity. You have practiced and mastered. After a while, you say, we are all grown up here. You start saying, I'm sure we are all grown ups. Somebody said, if you're in a house party and they say, I'm sure we are all grown ups, run. Just run. We are all adults. There are some movies that are rated 150. You will never be old enough to watch it. Somebody told me about one. I have not seen it and I will never see it. Uh-huh. And merely they told me. I said, okay, I've been warned ahead. You know, those movies where you finish and you want to pray like this. As you want to pray, the devil will come out and say, yes, yes, yes. God, what do you want to do? Yes, yes. Well, you want to pray over to? Hey, you start with, I surrender all to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Still on this idea of practice. Philippians 2, verse 12. He says, Philippians 2, verse 12. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Can we all read it with a loud voice? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Did you discover he did not say work for your salvation? He did not say work for your salvation with fear and trembling. He said work out. Many people have been reading this verse and what is in their mind is work for your salvation. That's why you tell people, when you preach by grace you are saved. People say, ah, what about when the Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling? That's not the verse to use. If you want to fight salvation by grace, you won't find any verse.
Yeah.
So they just grunt to this one. Walk for it. See, if you don't walk, no salvation for you. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, walk out your own salvation. That means you are already saved, but you have to walk it out. Let me explain. That phrase, walk out, is from the registry of exercise. Are you getting me? Where are you going to? I'm going to work out. You're going for exercise does not give you muscles. But you're going for exercise makes your muscles work better. Yes, are you following me? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is not good works that get you saved. But without good works, your salvation will not be evident for people to see. Are you with me? Yes. So he's saying that working out. Are you getting me? Require some working out, and God has put systems in place to get it to work out. You must work out. Whether you like it or not, you must work out. If you refuse to work out, your salvation will not be, it will almost be as though, are you even saved? Are you getting this? So, on the connection to love, look at Romans chapter 5 from verse 5. Romans 5 from verse 5. Praise the Lord. It says, the love of God is shed abroad. So, as you grow, even when you want to escape walking in love, the Holy Spirit will spread the love. It will be, when you want to cover that thing, he will come and say, it must spread abroad in your heart. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? You know, the Bible ties my hand. Let me explain. There are many things I would have wanted to do. There are many ways I would have preferred to act. But when I study the Bible, and I think you should also adopt it. The Bible is like a mirror. When you look at the mirror and see what you need to change, don't pretend like you don't see it. Change it. Are you getting me? One major reason why people don't grow is that many things they ought to change, they are explaining away. They are being defensive to the word. Jesus is saying, you need to change this. Then he said, Jesus, you don't know how far. Jesus, see, have you been my shoes? Jesus, see, Bobby, this thing. And Jesus is like, are you done? Okay. Change. So, now that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, you have a responsibility to work out that love that has been shed abroad in your heart. Are you getting me? Because the plan of the Spirit is that if it is shed abroad in your heart, it will be shed abroad to everyone connected to you. It should keep on spreading and coming out from your heart like a fountain that cannot be quenched. Are you with me?
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes,
because from the day you received the Holy Ghost, he has been spreading that love throughout till today. That's why when you are talking about somebody, making sure that you destroy the person's image, the Holy Ghost will be telling you, I can still make out something from this person. So when you talk after a while, you say, well, I still believe God can do something. Because the Holy Ghost is pinching you. Don't just end the are you with me? Don't end, destroy a person and end the person's future. That's why people that are with me, I say some things that some of them think is a mockery, but I actually mean what I'm saying. When I tell somebody that, as long as you are still breathing, God has not given up on you. It's not a lie, yo. It's true. I mean, I've given up, but God has not given up. So quickly, some ways in which we can practice for love or practice agape. Let's look at one example. I'll start with what may not be popular, but I mean, at least in our teachings, we've not talked about it. So let me talk about it. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 9. From verse 9, we are going all the way to verse 18. Are we ready? 1 John chapter 3 from verse 9. Everybody read with me. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Jesus. What kind of verse is that? Let me tell you what has made me like this. I read the Bible. If you read the Bible, he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed. So God believes that if you have received his seed, in fact, this verse till today is still a bone of contention for some theologians. Some theologians say that what he was saying is that whosoever is born of God cannot practice sin. Meaning you can't continue in sin. And I actually tend to agree with the second theologians. Some are saying, if you are born of God, especially the Puritans, they say if you are born of God, you can't commit sin. But you see, let's be honest, we make mistakes. So, okay, look at NLT. It says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. That means if you continue in sin and you are enjoying it and you are wallowing in it, if it's according to this verse, you are not saved. This is serious. So. Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest and children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God. Neither is he that loveth his brother. That loveth not his brother. Are you seeing this? Give me NLT. In this, the children of God are manifest. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. What? Are you seeing that? He immediately puts living righteously and connected it with loving your brother in Christ. This is serious. Let me tell you something. You will have many reasons not to love, but you have to love. See, if you are God's child, you will burn to love. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, when I thought about these things 2 years ago, if you study the prophetic chapter of the apostles of Jesus, there were three important men. One of them, his name was called Peter. And Peter was a fisherman. Are you listening to me? Okay. I need to draw out what I want to explain. Let me find who has this thing. I should talk.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Peter was the great fisherman. He was the one that Jesus found by the boat, and Jesus told him, "Cast your net, and you will catch great fish." And he did, and his net began to break. That was a prophetic picture of the fact that he was the one that will preach, and 3,000 will be saved at once. He was the great fisherman. The next person to Peter was Paul. Paul was the lawyer. He was the constitution maker. So after Peter won a lot of souls, and there was a lot of disorder in the church, God raised up Paul as the constitution builder. So you will discover that how the church was to run. You will see Paul, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the structure of the church, the pillars of the church, the constitution maker, the lawyer. But there was a man that had to come at the end. His name is called John. Peter and John, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
They walked on the boat, but John was not a fisherman. John was one of the sons of Zebedee, who, when their father finished fishing, they were always mending the nets. They were always the people that, after the job is done, they will find the loopholes and seal it. So he was the last apostle. So when God had raised up the fishing job with, has done the mighty fishing with Peter and done the constitution with Paul, John had to be the last to remain. So when John is telling you, this is how you must know who is saved. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
He was the one who is always mending the nets, finding the loopholes and correcting it. Finding the loopholes and correcting it. Finding the loopholes and correcting it. That's why John, you see those three epistles of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation, they close the canon.
Yes, sir.
Am I talking to you?
Yes,
sir. So, if you study the book of John, the book of 1 John especially tells you how to know who is saved. You can read it. When you read the book of John, you will discover that John was using that book, 1 John, to explain how to find out those who are in Christ. How will you know the ones who have received divine life? Because the Gnostics had mixed up in the church. People who have brought deep philosophy and mixed it up with the gospel. He says, if you do is doing righteous, he is righteous. And also, as in addition to his righteousness, he must love his brother. Are you following me? Everybody read verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Put it in NLT. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Verse 12. Oh. Read it in King James. NLT waters it down. Read it in King James. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. The first manifestation that Cain belonged to the devil was the manifestation of hatred. So, the lack of love was a sign that Cain had been... Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is serious. That's why, no matter how a brother offends me, there is a limit. There are some things I cannot do. Are you getting me? You cannot say that you are a believer and another believer offends you and you now intentionally plan evil for that person. No. No matter how offended you can be, you are. You can't metaphorically now kill somebody because you are offended. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not asking. Everybody jump to verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Are you seeing this?
Yes,
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You think this one weak you, Abby? Verse 15. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. Guy, pity us now. And we know that no murderer had eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, everybody. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Everybody read verse 17 now. For whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his voice of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, I want you to notice that phrase. And shutteth up his voice of compassion. That means every believer has a boil of compassion, but he can decide to shut it. Are you seeing the practice I'm talking about? You can decide that, no, I will not walk in love. I go show him the peace of my mind. Somebody that should have been giving peace of mind. Whoso had this was good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God? So, my point here is, there is a bowel of compassion in every one of us who is saved. But will you shut it? Or will you open it? So after me, I will open my bowel of compassion. I will open my bowel of compassion. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, generosity is one of the ways to show that you love the brethren. You can see that somebody is obviously struggling. I know that there are some people who have taken advantage of this to always collect and steal from. You know, I've had experience. This church worker... Remember when we were at LA Kings? There was one guy. He came for the service. That is, he would always come. Just when we're about to close, you're walking, say, Pastor, Kai. That's the money. The word was for me. Pastor. Pastor, you did preach. Pastor, I was so touched. Just that I need transport right now. You know, I came from very far, like Uyigbo. I was moved in my spirit to be in this service. I mean, initially, my boys of compassion just didn't flow any other first time. Are you serious? Bring 5K. Give him. That day, I now went to another church to just see the pastor. So, after the service, I just went and I just went to greet the pastor like his pastor friend. And I saw the same guy. That's why I hid somewhere. Do you know this guy wrapped the exact same thing? Yeah, Pastor, you are sent from God. He got one of these pastor talk. The same story, the same. I said, okay. So, mainly he was done and he gave me the money. I didn't want to spoil his game. I just came and I said, guy, how far now? You sure? I said, hey, how is everything? He said, they're saying, hey, I finished from your service. I came to this service for second service. He said, I said, you do not have second service, guy. They planned this lie. I know things like that happen. But when you have genuine believers in need, do what you can do. Are you getting me? Not everybody is a thief. I know they are thieves, but not everybody is a thief. In Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor generosity. The second one here is forgiveness. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is, even though you have been wronged, you decide that you will not hold the person again. You decide that, okay. In some cases, you may want to give a distance. But sometimes, or most times, it may not be necessary. Are you getting what I'm saying? Forgiveness is that you pardon the person. You let it go. You don't keep repeating a matter again and again and again. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 17 from verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Proverbs 17 from verse 9. So forgiveness is saying, I know you hurt me, but I still love you. And I will not keep this in my heart against you. I want you to know that I've let it go. It's not easy, oh. It's not easy. And I will give you a key later on how to forgive. Because let me tell you the truth. I'll be lying to you if I tell you that I'm not also growing in it. As a pastor, I'm growing in it. Oh, I'm growing. As I grow, I understand some of the things the elders used to tell me. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 13. You give me in KJV and you give me in NLT. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Now, remember this Colossians 3 was where we talked about practicing your new character in Christ, right? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So, the simple rule is, how much has Christ forgiven me? When I struggle to forgive, and I remember that Christ has forgiven me, in all my mistakes and all my slips, God has still given me a chance. See, there are some of you know that if God decided that he would judge you and not give you a chance again, some of you, as you committed that sin that you planned, he just say off his mic. As you stand around there, I know if you talk again, you gotta have off the mic. That eye that you used to use and look at Baba thing off the TV, I can't see. But in spite of all that thing that you did, all those sites that people went and were watching strange things, God is still allow you to wake up in the morning to see the sun. He forgave you, that's why. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus. Everybody's quiet because pastor is finding trouble. I'm pinching people like this. Even as Christ forgave you. Look at it in NLT. Make allowance for each other's faults. Aye. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. The Lord forgave you. Tell your neighbor, the Lord forgave you. See, that's what has taught me a lesson. The Lord forgave me. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. From verse 22. Or let me see from verse 21. Then came Peter to him, that's to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Mark that word. How many talents? 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payments be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. Are you seeing bowels of compassion? Does it make sense? And loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that owes. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called and said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. Verse 35. Everybody read 1-3, go. Also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, I want us to think about two things. First of all, let's start with the talents. I did a calculation. I've preached this before, right? Who remembers? I did a calculation some years ago and discovered that one talent equals 15 years salary. And 10,000 talents means salary for 15,000 years. You know that meme? You will suffer for 600 years. It doesn't even come close. And 100 pence is 4 months' salary. Are you with me? You were owing the master salary for 15,000 years. He forgave you. Somebody was owing you 100 pence. I was telling some people. I said, the way I've seen some of you behave, I said, if I treat you the way you treat other people, you will not like it. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm saying, if I treat you the way I've seen you treat other people, but look at God now. This is obviously the king is representative of God. Are you with me? They forgive you 10,000 talents. Immediately you came out from there. As they forgive you 10,000 talents, you ran out. Broom. Where is the guy who gave me 100 pesos? Yeah, come. You want to know how to forgive? Calculate how much has been forgiven you. You will now know that you should forgive every other person who has offended you. Let them go. Tell anybody, let them go. And now, I want to answer the question as we close. But pastor, is hard. Can I be honest with you? Even for me, he had. He's hard. And that is why one of the biggest mistakes you can make in the teaching of love is to finish preaching love and tell people go and do what I've taught you. They cannot do it on their own strength. Are you with me? Even though we have to practice, but there is a fuel required to practice the things of the spirit. Are you getting me? What is the fuel? Intimacy with the spirit. The Bible says the fruit of the spirit is love. Many times, that's Galatians 5 verse 22. When we teach that thing, we are trying to tell people, okay, the fruit of the spirit is love, so go and love. That's not what he's saying. He's saying if you have the spirit and you are full of the spirit and you are intimate with the spirit will help you to love. Are you getting that? If you are intimate with the spirit will bring joy. The fruit of that spirit within your heart will produce joy. If you are soaking into the spirit will produce peace. So, if you are struggling with any of these things, go and spend more time with God. The presence of God within your heart will begin to bring out that fruit. Many of you have noticed, the day you don't pray well, you get angry easily. Have you not noticed? Hey, Jesus. The period you are not spending time with God, you are easily irritable. You cannot really pick the Holy Ghost is telling you, calm down, calm down, calm down. You are getting angry. You are losing it. The Holy Ghost is like a small child. Come. All of you can make reference to this example. Many of you have seen what I'm saying. Somebody annoyed you. You want to shout. Try. Do like you're running there. Then you can feel the Lord telling you, calm down, calm down. Hold it. Just calm down. Just. Afterwards, they leave me, Joe. You just go. Amen. God bless you. You all run away. You are very, very stupid. And the Holy Ghost said, oh God. I just remembered something. God forgive me. Who knows that tattoo? At some point, the rats just gave up and fell in the guy's head. I give up. The Holy Ghost is like, oh, he does it again. Yeah, here we go again. Then when you are done with shouting, you will calm down. Shh. Then the Holy Ghost come back. So how far? I think you are done. What has it produced? Now you have released. You know, there are sometimes after I forgive somebody and the person has gone, and I say, don't worry, I'm not angry again. Let's reconcile. Later, I'll be my own. The flesh will come back. You know, I'm at this thing well. Hey, why did you leave that person to go? You for knack. You would have shouted. You would have. Then I'll feel the Holy Ghost telling me, you are growing. Good. You are growing. Are you with me? You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, and Adam knew his wife from verse 1, and she conceived and bare Cain. So the fruit of Cain was because Adam knew his wife. You want to produce all these fruits, go and be intimate to the Lord. Know the Lord. Spend time. It will be easy. A time will come. I've had this experience before. A time will come where the only reason why you even talk about a thing is because you just see that it's important. Not because you are furious. There have been cases where I'm angry. I'm angry that I'm not angry. Who knows what I'm talking about? Where you are like, where is the rage within me? You can't find the rage. You are looking for a rage to give you fuel to fire back. You bombastic element. How dare you? But there is no rage within you to shout. It's not coming. You are angry that, why am I not angry? God, why? Because you have grown. The Holy Spirit is having preeminence. So the only reason why you will now talk about it, it's because you just want to straighten out things. But left to you, you are fine. Jump on your feet. Say after me, I will not abort the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's called spiritual miscarriage. You and the Holy Ghost have had an intimacy. The love wants to flow, but you kill it. Say, I must do anger. You want to abort the fruit of the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, let your bowels of compassion flow. In generosity. In forgiveness. In patience. I practice agape. Can you begin to pray right now? Oh God, I receive your help. Holy Spirit, I receive your help to practice love.